Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Looking for the perfect First Communion, Confirmation, or RCIA gift? Consider a beautiful, heirloom-quality, made-in-Italy rosary from Ghirelli. A Ghirelli rosary will be prayed with and cherished forever, guaranteed. Shop Ghirelli today. That's ghirelli.com.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. I'm your host, Pete Sox, a Catholic book blogger. Today with us, we have a returning guest, Mark McCann. He is an author and ministry consultant with a BA in theology from King's College in Wilkes-Barre, PA. He has more than 30 years of experience in ministry to children, youth, and families. In the past, he served as an associate director of youth ministry and family life ministry for the Diocese of Norwich, Connecticut, as well as a high school religious studies teacher and campus minister, a DRE, and a youth minister. Mark was also a Christian radio host and producer for 8 years at a small Christian radio station. He's written for a number of Catholic magazines and websites, including St. Anthony's Messenger, Emmanuel Magazine, Homiletic and Pastoral Review, and Catholic Exchange. He currently lives in Connecticut with his Proverbs 31 wife and three incredible children and lives out his call each day to be a man of his words. His ministry website is www.wordsandvisions.com. Today we'll be talking about the second book in his series, To the Ends of the Earth. That book is titled Action. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Hey, thanks. Great to be here.
It's good to have you back. So for those who have not listened to our last podcast together, which is episode 115, which was on the first book, which focused on character, can you give us an overview of what the To the Ends of the Earth series of books is, how the books are laid out, etc.?
Sure. It's basically a life study for Catholic men. And what that is it's just a way for men to imitate Christ, imitate the life of Christ, to kind of integrate it into their lives so that they can live out what it means to be a Catholic man. It's the study's divided into four different areas: character, action, witness, and legacy. Each study flows into the others, but each study can be taken independently to allow men to go through it at their own pace. The whole series, however, is really meant to be used as a group study. It's, you know, it's a daily devotional, but each week men can get together with a leader and go over the questions and the readings and the insights that come to them and just kind of help to carry each other along as men. So the whole thing's an individual study, but it's also meant to be a group study.
Mm. So today we're going to focus on the second book in the series. Again, that one's Action, as you mentioned. So what is this particular volume about?
Well, basically, after character, after understanding what our character means, everything's going to fall flat if we don't put that character, those character traits, into action, if we don't put flesh on what Christ is doing in our lives. And that means, you know, kind of getting a little dirt under our fingernails. It means doing things for other people. It means doing things for ourselves. It means actually walking that journey. And so that's really what this second book is all about. It's about taking the character traits that we're developing and putting flesh on them.
And it's interesting, I think, how this entire series, you wrote it where the next volume builds on the previous one. Was that intentional, I assume?
Oh, absolutely, because it's I look at my own life, and to be honest, I tell people that this book is really written for myself before anybody else. And as I've developed, my own walk with Jesus Christ, I've come to see that it's an ongoing journey. And so this book really, it's about journeying with Jesus Christ. And so the reason that these kind of go together like that is because it's just, I want men to understand that what they're doing is an ongoing walk, that they're on a path, they're on the narrow path toward heaven, and that their salvation is not just some kind of once and done deal. What's happened at baptism is something that they carry through for the rest of their lives, and they do that in their words and in their actions, witnessing to others and in leaving a legacy. And that's it all just sort of flows out. One leads to the other. And I just, as I was going through it, it was a very natural thing that happened. It's hard to describe really when I began the whole thing, how it just kind of flowed. It was, I would do one devotion and the next one would come to me and the next one would come to me. And it just sort of blossomed. But it was very natural. It was a very natural progression that just happened, and it came out of really my own journey and the journeys of other men that I've had contact with over the years.
Mm. So I want to cover each of the weeks included in the book. There's 10 of them in the book. We'll try to at least touch upon each of those so people can get a flavor for what the book's about. Week one is titled Table Manners, and it's all about the Eucharist. How transformative can the Eucharist be for our lives?
It's become very central to my life. To be honest, a lot of that has come through my contact with other Christians and how they treat the Eucharist and how they look at it as more of a memorial. But the more that I've studied the Eucharist, the more that I've participated in it, I've just come to understand that it's not some kind of re-sacrificing of Christ, you know, unbloody on an altar kind of thing, the sort of misconceptions that people have. But it's really kind of a going back to that moment, understanding where our salvation lies, and going back to that moment where Christ won heaven for us on the cross. And the whole idea of the Eucharist being our nourishment, being our food and drink, our true food and drink, and where we receive Christ himself, that's very powerful to me. And so to me, that's a central aspect of our lives. It's a central aspect of the Mass. When we go to Mass, we have the liturgy of the Word and the liturgy of the Eucharist, but the Eucharist is really central to our worship. And so that's, I thought that that's something I really needed to stress at the beginning of this book, that that the Eucharist is just a powerful part of our lives, and as men, we need to participate in it and carry forth from that into our lives and the actions that we do with other men.
Absolutely. And in what ways do you think can we foster a deeper love of the Eucharist?
I think just first of all, basically, by actually going to Mass, by participating in it, by coming to that table in a worthy manner. I think a lot of times people have forgotten just the mystery and the majesty and the wonder of the Eucharist. There's just the idea that sometimes I think people at church, I call them sort of Dawn of the Dead Masses, where people are there and they're responding with the prayers, you know, kind of a rote thing. They just say the prayers, and I'll be there and I'll think about the words I'm saying and which word I want to emphasize, you know, kind of like Our Father or Our Father who art in heaven, our Father who art in heaven, you know, things like that. I'll think about the words that I'm saying, and I think men, as they participate in it, as they give themselves over to it, as they understand how important, how mysterious this is, even like at the act of consecration, there's one of the things that I do is I'll look at what's happening to understand that God has come down from heaven to earth, and then I'll bow my head, understanding that it's a great mystery that I'm not going to fully understand. And I think men need to sort of recapture that sense of awe and wonder at the Eucharist so that they can understand that it's about life, it's about abundance, it's about satisfaction, and ultimately it's about the love of Christ, what he did for us. And I think it's so important for men to do that, and I just find that a lot of people just go through the motions and don't even realize what a gift the Eucharist is. Mm.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Moving on in the book, week two is called Double-Minded or Fully Joyful, and you bring up a valid point about doubt and how it leads to the potentially can lead to sin. How detrimental can doubt be to our faith lives?
It almost sounds like, you know, why do we need to ask that question? It seems so obvious that you would think, like, you know, that doubt would kind of interfere with our walk. But really what it does is it opens the door for the enemy, basically, to come in, for us to be men of inaction. So because then we won't act on God's word. We won't act on what the Spirit is doing in our lives. We'll allow our troubles to just sort of toss us around, you know, to and fro. We won't be decisive men. That's the whole idea. When we doubt, what we're really doing is we're putting ourselves really back on the throne. We're saying, I don't think God can handle what's going on in my life, or I don't want God to handle what's going on in my life. And so we really put ourselves back on that throne. And I think it's very dangerous, to be perfectly honest. I think we need to understand that when we doubt, we really lose our joy. You know, we lose what it means to be joyful Christians. We lose that sense of wonder and awe that we belong to Christ, that even as men, you know, we're his. And we don't like to be vulnerable, and I think that goes hand in hand with the whole idea of doubt, that we forget, you know, that we're not that strong. Mm. So when we're really focused on God, the doubt goes away because we're focused on him. He is our strength, and we don't do things in our own strength. And I think men are reluctant to do that, and I think that's really, in a sense, a source of doubt, that we forget that God is the source of our strength. And so that's, in general, how I see that idea.
It's almost like a double-edged sword. We've been given the how do I want to say this, that inward drive to be leaders, but it takes us to a point where we think we can solve all the problems ourselves.
Absolutely. That's the whole, yeah, you hit it right on the head there, because we want to be the masters of our own worlds. And in a sense, it's built into us, because we're supposed to be the heads of our household. We're supposed to be protectors. We're supposed to lead our families well. But at the same time, we're supposed to be servant leaders. You know, we're supposed to be sacrificial leaders. We're supposed to put Christ truly as the head of our families. And when we try to do everything in our own strength, we will every time fall flat on our faces. And it's sort of men have to come to that point where they just realize, like, without Christ, I'm going to fall on my face, accept that, and then we become ultimately, you know, unstoppable as men of action in our lives.
All right, there's plenty more to cover. We just covered the first 2 weeks of the book. We'll be right back. You've been listening to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media.
This spring, discover inspiring Catholic books from Ave Maria Press. New this season, they have books on Mary from best-selling authors Marge Steinhag Fenelon and Maria Morea Johnson. They also have a book on humility from Life Teen's Joel Stepanek, and a 6-day personal retreat with Father Jean-Pierre de Cassade from Father Jeffrey Kirby. from personal spirituality to group Bible study and RCIA resources to books for teens. Ave Maria Press has Catholic books for everyone.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. Today we have with us Mark McCann. He's the author of the journal or study series for men, To the Ends of the Earth. And today we're looking at the second volume in that series called Action. We covered the first 2 weeks in the first segment, and now we're going to move on to week three. You called this one Commentators on the Acts. You have to explain this unusual title and what it implies.
When my children were little, I used to read them the Little House series, and one of the stories, the Ingalls family and the whole town are at the church, and they're having just kind of an evening out, and they start to have a sort of a, they're playing charades. And at the very end, the last charade that happens, Pa Ingalls comes up and he has a hatchet, and on it he has two potatoes. And he stands there and he says, "Here's my charade." And nobody knows what it's about. And he finally says, "It's commentators on the acts," meaning, you know, that the whole thing is commentators on the acts of the apostles.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that struck me about that is, it, in a sense, it was really simple. It was a simple kind of thing. It was just common potatoes on an axe, you know. And, but people were, trying to put some special meaning to it. And I think sometimes that's what we do with our faith, because we understand that in a lot of ways our faith is complicated, in the sense that, you know, God's word is has a fullness that we'll never fully understand. We have 2,000 years of rich tradition. We're fallible human beings, and we mess up, and so we need the laws of the church to guide us and all of that. But really, when it all comes down to it, our faith is kind of a simple kind of thing. And I don't mean simple like, I don't even know what word I could use about it. Not simple in the sort of childish kind of way, but simple in the faith of a child kind of way. And so that's kind of, it was sort of a little humorous way of bringing that aspect out, but just understanding that the truth of God is, it's available to us, and we can grasp it if we're willing to yield to what God is doing in our lives.
Mm-hmm. You know, another thing you look at in this chapter or this week's review on week three is you talk about how we can often overcomplicate things. How easy is it for us to simply follow the good news and apply it to our lives and not overcomplicate it? Because as men, I think we tend to do that a lot.
And I think this ties in with things that we talked about earlier, the idea that we try to be super strong, we try to take charge, and we try to handle things on our own strength. And I think, again, this comes back to the idea of yielding to what God is doing in our lives and understanding that we don't know it all. We don't understand it, but it's really all about surrender, and that's really the bottom line about this. Is you know, we sometimes we just get so caught up in trying to understand things intellectually that we forget that faith is something that's lived out. One of the things that I tell people is, I've never learned more about God and my faith than when I started to have children, and because my children taught me about how God sees us. Because when I would look at my children, I would see them as, you know, beautiful, wonderful creations, and I would watch them as they took their steps in life, and I would just see how beautiful that was. And I came to realize that that's how God sees us. He sees us as his children. He loves to watch us grow. And as we just move through life, I think it should be this joyful, wonderful journey. But we're so busy. And I think a lot of times we try to sort of work it out. We try to sort of work out our salvation in the sense of trying to please God, trying to earn something that he's already given us in Christ, trying to sort of do what only Jesus has done for us and is doing for us in our lives.
Absolutely. Moving forward, the fourth week is called Lynn and Now. Why do you think we spend so much time focusing on our past?
I think a lot of it is because deep down we're trying to change it. You know, it's almost like we're trying to reverse time. And it sounds silly, but I think we look back on our past and we just, why did I do that? Why did this happen? These were the bad things. And it's almost as if we're bargaining with God to take us back in time. In a lot of ways, I blame a lot of science fiction stuff that just kind of presents time travel as this, it's this real thing that happens, and there are, you know, time loops and all this weird kind of stuff. And we've kind of come to look at it and think that it's this reality, and it really isn't. We're appointed once to die, and after that to face the judgment. And we, again, when we do that, what we do is we're not trusting that God can take our past, he can take our wrongs, he can take our failures, and he can turn them into his strength, not our strength, but his strength. And I think we just don't really grasp that. And again, I think it comes down to surrender. And that's sort of almost like a paradox with this whole book here, is the idea that we're supposed to be men of action, but really our greatest action is one of yielding to Christ, one of surrendering to Christ. And we just have to trust, you know, we know the end of the story. We know that it's going to work out. You know, we have the book of Revelation, and we need to trust that God can take any things that we've done, any mess-ups that we've done, and he can turn them around and work them out according to his beautiful and perfect will.
Mm. You know, it's often said that the devil wants us to focus on our past sins in order to prevent us from starting anew. How do we instead turn our focus to the future and not dwell on the past like that?
I think a lot of it has to do with just understanding how much we're loved by God. And again, that's a lesson I've learned from my children. When I am totally helplessly, hopelessly in love with my children, I look at them and I just, you know, I just am totally blessed by the gift they are in my life. And they've messed up a lot, and they annoy me a lot, and they can be difficult, and they have been difficult. But I see how beautiful they are. I see how they're turning into these beautiful, wonderful adults, and I understand that that's how God looks at me. And I've, if men would just do that, if they would just understand that God loves them with a perfect, he died for them, I sent his son to die for them on the cross, you know, Jesus died for us on that cross, what more, you know, wouldn't he do for us, you know, what more can we ask for? We can ask for the universe, because Jesus really gave it all to us. And if we yield to that, if we understand that that's there, I think that's how we can kind of accomplish that.
Mm. In the fifth week, you cover God's still small voice. And as you mentioned, God speaks to us in whispers, not with a megaphone. How can we tune our hearing to receive this small voice?
Well, I think that, again, it's understanding that God's ways are not our ways. We always look for power, for bigness in our lives, and our God is a big God, and he has spoken to his people in powerful ways, and even the resurrection is a powerful kind of thing. But really, in a sense, God speaks to us he speaks to us, you know, in the Eucharist, you know, which to me is just, it's kind of almost like a quiet sort of thing. It's a hidden thing. You know, somebody coming into a church seeing that would not understand that, would not understand the absolute power and majesty and beauty of that, and understand how, as one person put it one time, God comes from heaven and squeezes himself into bread. Just that the love of God, that, you know, how he speaks to us in ways that we don't fully understand, but we're so busy as men looking for those bigger, better deals in our lives that we need to just look up and let him solve things in our life. I'm maybe just sort of going round and round over the same thing, but I think it's just the idea of yielding to him. He comes in his time, his way. He speaks to us through other people. He speaks to us through our circumstances. He speaks to us in all kinds of ways, but we spend our time, I think, looking for him in big signs and big miracles, and we look for him to do what we want when we want it, instead of saying, you know, God will solve this in his timing and in his way.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take one more quick break. We'll be back to try and cover the rest of the book, To the Ends of the Earth, Action. With that, you've been listening to Redbox Media, and we'll be right back.
I have a quiz for you. What is one of the greatest gifts parents can give to their children? It's something children ask for often. When this gift is received, the entire family is incredibly joyful and transformed on the special occasion of the arrival of this masterpiece. This gift calls for faith, courage, and generosity on the part of the givers. It lasts for many decades, only getting better, changing, and developing each day. This magnificent gift is unique and can never be repeated, but a similar gift can be added approximately every year. This gift can only be given by three persons agreeing and acting. Have you guessed it yet? Yes, this profound gift is that of welcoming another child. And the three persons agreeing are husband, wife, and God. I'm Jim Littleton, formingfaithfulfamilies.com.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. I'm your host, Pete Sox, a Catholic book blogger. Today we have with us Mark McCann, author of the To the Ends of the Earth series of books for men. We are looking at the book Action, the second in the series of four today. And Mark, brother to brother is the focus of week six. How important is it for us men to have fellowship with other like-minded men?
It's critically important. It's a lifelong process of growth, accountability, support, and fellowship. You know, that's, we can't make it through on our own. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know how else to say it, but I mean, we need other people in our lives, and we especially as men need brothers who are going to hold us accountable, who are going to come alongside us, who are going to walk with us on the journey. There's that reading in the scriptures that says, you know, one person might fall, but, you know, when he's with somebody else, you know, he's going to stand strong. And then it says a cord of three strands is not easily broken, and the idea, that's the idea of Christ being that third strand in there. And when we have our brothers in our lives, it helps us. We support each other because not only am I receiving help from my brothers, but I'm also offering help. When I'm weak, my brother may be stronger. When I'm stronger, my brother may be weak. And so together we help each other along. It's like those Band of Brothers movies. You know, we have each other's back. And so it's so important that we're there for each other and that we're open and vulnerable to each other, because otherwise we won't grow if we're not open to each other and to receiving the help from each other.
Mm. And, you know, I run a That Man Is You group here locally. It's been a tremendously vital to my own faith journey, and the men in that group attest to that themselves as too. What suggestions do you have for us to create these types of groups for fellowship?
I think one thing that really helps is to have one-on-one time with other men. If you're in a group, to take time to just spend one-on-one with other men and to actually ask important questions, not to just spend that time making small talk, but to say, how's your faith journey? You know, how's your marriage? How's your relationship with your kids? What sins are you struggling with? You know, how are you dealing with important issues in your life? What are you putting first before God? All those kinds of things. And then being willing ourselves to answer those very same questions. And I think kind of that one-on-one time is very important, because that helps us to you know, helps us to, when we're in the group, to not be afraid to share who we are and to move along. And I found that these kind of relationships really are built one man at a time.
For sure. In week 7, you look at, it's entitled You're a Loser, and you look at weaknesses. How can we turn our weaknesses into strengths?
Well, again, as I seem to keep repeating the same phrase, but the whole idea of yielding or surrendering to God, it's a commitment, and it's the idea that, you know, athletes, when they go into competing in the games, you know, they have to be disciplined, they have to work out, they have to go all in. And are we willing to do that? And it's the idea that if we're yielding to Christ, we understand that without Christ, we're total losers. We cannot get to heaven on our own. We cannot get to heaven without Christ. But at the same time, with Christ as our strength, we still need to make that commitment to run the race and to keep that goal in mind and to keep moving forward. And so that's really what a lot of that week is all about, is just moving forward in strength.
Another interesting chapter, I thought, was the week 8 one. It's Sins of the Fathers and Loving Legacies. Why is it important for us to not allow generational sins to affect our present reality?
Because we just get stuck, and then we can pass that on to our children. And this one was very personal to me. I had a good father. He was a good man who was a faithful man, but he worked away a lot. And I only saw him really on weekends, sometimes once a month, because he worked out of state. And eventually he divorced my mother, and all of that really trickled down into my life and into the lives of my brothers and sisters. And I saw the effect that it has had. And I think we need to understand that we have to break with that. When I became a husband and a father, I still make a lot of mistakes, but I've come to realize I have to break that cycle. I have to be a better husband than my father was to my mother. I have to be a better father than he was to his children. And it's so important, you know, because we're leaving that legacy. And so we have to keep moving forward and understand that God doesn't punish us for the sins of our fathers, but those sins can have a generational effect on us, and we have to let them go, and we have to grab hold of Christ and let him take us forward in his strength so that we don't pass that on to our children.
Mm. And I think it's important to realize that these things do exist, that there are generational things that carry from generation to generation.
Absolutely. And you know, the thing that I love about that whole concept is when it talks about, you know, the generational sin, it'll say it will carry on to the third or fourth generation. But then when it talks about carrying on God's legacy, that will carry on, you know, for thousands of generations. So it's when we have the strength of Christ, it carries on so far beyond what the generational sin does. And that gives me a great deal of hope.
In the 9th chapter, and this one was kind of interesting, dance like no one is watching, but be ready for a little ridicule. I think all of us need this chapter as a dose of reality, in that the underlying theme of it is being joyful in our faith. We don't have to be buttoned down prudes all the time. How can we be joyful and attract others and turn to the faith?
Well, I think we have to be unashamed about our faith. Like I said earlier, the whole idea of the sort of the dawn of the dead mass is, I'm sure there are a lot of men who go to church and just sort of just whisper their responses. They're not loud and proud. They're not singing out. They're not unashamed to share their faith with other people. They're, you know, and that's what we have to do. We have to have that enthusiasm and that love for Christ that just spills out. And that's the whole dancing idea, that we're unashamed to just show who we are. We're so afraid of what other people think. And the thing I think about is Christians who are being persecuted all over the world, who are dying for their faith. And in a sense, in America, you know, we recoil at, you know, somebody might not like me if they find out that I'm, you know, a believer in Jesus and I talk about my faith. That, you know, our faith is under attack and we need to be strong and bold and unashamed of who we are. And so that was the one I really just wanted to bring it out toward the end of the study, because, you know, all of our actions really come to that point where we have to make that decision and say, are we going forward? Are we going to do it without shame, or are we going to be so afraid of men that we stop being who we're called to be?
Hmm. In the book, you wind down chapter 10 with a chapter called Real Strength for Real Men. And as we wind down today, where do we find this strength we need to pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and move forward when we fall?
Well, I talk a lot in that about confession and Eucharist, and those are things that nourish us and strengthen us and bring us renewal. And I go to confession on a fairly regular basis, and there aren't really long lines. And most of those lines are older people and a lot of times older women. Men kind of have this thing about being afraid to come and confess and to come before God. I find I need to do that. I need to acknowledge my need for God. And I need that hope that comes from knowing that I'm forgiven in Christ. And so it's understanding that God is the God of second chances, third chances, fourth chances, you know, and understanding that because that's a joyful thing. And when we find that, when we come to that realization that he gives us these sacraments to help us become the men we're supposed to be, we're really, our lives are renewed. We become like little kids again, in a sense, because our strength is built up once more in Christ.
Absolutely. Now, we're going to have you back in a couple weeks to discuss the next book in the series, but could you give us a little taste of what the third book in your series is? And this one is To the Ends of the Earth, Witness.
Well, the whole book, you know, I have a lot of Protestant friends, and they always talk about, you know, are you going to witness for the Lord, you know, and I'm not in any way making fun of that. You know, it's the idea of, but the focus seems to be with that bringing people to faith. And my approach to the whole idea of witnessing is that our whole lives are a witness as to what it means to belong to Jesus Christ. And so the whole book really focuses not on just on leading people into the church, leading people closer to Christ, but walking with them on that journey all the way. And that's really what witnessing is all about, because it's not just a, you know, here's a tract, believe, and the deal is done. It's a, hey, we're going on this journey, let's do it together. And how do you do that? Look at my life. How am I going to do that? I'm going to look to the life of Christ. And so that's, it's, I hope that it's perhaps has a fullness to it, you know, that maybe other approaches don't have. I'm not sure. That's my hope in this study, you know, in that book. But it's the idea that our whole life is a witness to Christ.
Mm. So, Mark, where can people find this book, To the Ends of the Earth, Action, and the other three books to your series?
Well, they can go to oursundayvisitor.com. I believe it's osv.com. And my website, wordsnvisions.com. It's wordsnvisions, wordsnvisions.com. Has all the links there so people can get them at their favorite bookstore, at Our Sunday Visitor. There's also a wealth of material there for people, especially leaders who want to use this in a group study. There's a lot of training materials there, and I continue to add materials all the time. So that's really the best place to go is my website, just because then you can learn more about the books and where you can go to get them.
Excellent. Well, Mark, that's all we have time for today. I want to thank you for taking time out of your schedule and spending it with us again. I'm looking forward to having you back in a few weeks. Any closing thoughts?
No, I'm enjoying sharing this time. And the funny thing is, the more I share about the books, the more I'm realizing how much they've impacted me as an individual. And I hope I hope it keeps me humble as a man, and I hope it keeps me going forward.
All right. You've been listening to Off the Shelf. I'm your host, Pete Sox, a Catholic book blogger. And until next time, God bless.
Breadbox Media programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com.